This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
He stood in front of the shower, freshly groomed, wearing a crisp, tightly buttoned-up shirt. Anybody ever see anybody wearing shirts this tight anymore, ever? I suppose if you're wearing the tie, you'd probably button it up there, but there's no tie. It's just awkward. Brian Koberger, flashing the thumbs up with his little smirk. It was 10:31 a.m. on November 13th of 2022, and that date is very noticeable for this conversation, and notable, not just noticeable, but notable, because just hours earlier, the University of Idaho, four students, they've been murdered in their off-campus home. No one knew who Brian Koberger was at that moment in time or suspected him at that moment in time. But here he was taking a selfie that very morning. Someone had nothing to do with this. Okay, sometimes people take selfies. A lot of times people take selfies. Brian Koberger doesn't strike me as a selfie kind of guy. I could be completely off on that assumption. At first glance, the photo might seem like nothing more than an awkward mirror shot. The kind we've all seen 1,000 times on Instagram. But context changes everything. The shirt, the smirk, the setting. It all struck a chord. What is this? Is this a taunt? Is this evidence? Is there something on his finger there that shows friction from a knife? When I saw it, a lot of things ran through my mind. And a few days after seeing the photo, another photo struck my interest, and a concept struck my interest. Take a look at this one. That's American Psycho, from the movie American Psycho. Notice any similarities here? Tight, button-up, white. It's not exactly the same type of shirt by any means. But one of the biggest cruxes of this case is, how did someone kill these four kids and not have any blood on them? Or what did they do to avoid all of that? Keep in mind, he wrote a paper not that far prior to these murders, about how to commit murders pretty much like this and clean up, not get caught, and evade detection. He was studying criminology, so you got to give him that. That's not that crazy if you're studying that, really. That's Patrick Bateman from American Psycho, by the way. But there's a lot more to the similarities that I feel this picture brings out, and we're going to go through some of them. If you're just joining us, be sure to press subscribe, whatever platform you're listening to us on, if it's on podcast. And if you are watching this on YouTube, please hit that subscribe button as well and the bell so you don't miss any of our updates as we keep covering this case. And leave your comments. We do love to hear your feedback on all these thoughts that we bring up here on the program. So eerie similarities here between Koberger and our first thought there, or my first thought there, was American Psycho. Others saw Norman Bates from Psycho itself. You got a bathroom setting. Where was the main killer killing someone in Psycho? In the bathroom. And Norman Bates was kind of a weird character. Kind of out there, kind of off by himself, kind of awkward. One may see some striking similarities in the personality there with Brian Koberger. The timing of the photo combined with the sterile, composed appearance made everybody ask, was this just a photo or is this a message? Is there something deeper going on here? We got to look at history. We have to look at character development, if you will, or arcs in people's character and life. And this piece, I know, we're talking a lot of speculation here, but I don't think it's that far out of bounds. We don't usually go very far out of bounds in terms of speculation, but this just really struck me. And let's walk it back a little bit to unpack what's all been discovered, because it goes way beyond the shower photo. In the chaotic weeks following the brutal killings in Moscow, Idaho, you had internet forums, social media groups, and amateur sleuth communities out there exploding with theories. One idea began to pick up steam in a way that made it feel more like a developing lead than a shot in the dark. The possibility that the killer had been inserting himself into online conversations about the crime. Not anonymously lurking, but actively commenting, theorizing, and possibly taunting. There were two names that quickly popped up in that atmosphere at that time. Papa Roger being one of them, and Inside Looking. This image, if you're watching us on YouTube, is the image of Papa Roger. That was his screenshot, his headshot, profile shot. It's Brian Koberger right next to him. Notice any similarities? And keep in mind, at the time, no one knew or suspected Brian Koberger. What a striking similarity to Brian Koberger, the very person who was arrested and charged with these crimes, posting about the crimes using a profile image that looks a lot like him, talking about things that no one else knew about the crime scene at that moment in time, unless you were an investigator. The Facebook account for Papa Roger was particularly active in groups focused on the Idaho murders. This wasn't just a random Facebook user dropping in. The posts were pointed, persistent, and oddly confident. One in particular gave a lot of people chills. It was posted before law enforcement released many details, and it mentioned a large fixed-blade knife and the possibility that the killer had left a sheath behind. Odd little detail to note, one that I think would probably be a bit of concern if you are the killer. Weeks later, after that comment was posted by Papa Roger, the man who looks strikingly like Brian Koberger in his profile picture, law enforcement confirmed the discovery of a K-bar-style knife sheath left behind and underneath one of the victim's bodies. That detail had been unknown to the public at the time the Papa Roger post was written. That one clue, a sheath, it took the conversation from speculation to suspicion. Redditors, Facebook users, and YouTube started archiving every post they could find from the Papa Roger account. People began noticing a pattern, not just in what was being said, but how it was being said. The tone was analytical, assertive, sometimes condescending. He challenged people in the group, pushing back as if he had an agenda or some kind of knowledge that others didn't. It wasn't trolling and it wasn't joking. It read more like someone deliberately guiding the narrative, needing to be in control of the ball that they started rolling down the hill. Or even worse, showing off. Hiding in plain sight, if you will. Getting joy of being out there on these forums, talking with all of these people who are hurting, who are searching for answers. Again, in plain sight with the pictures. But no one knew who Brian Koberger was yet. And certainly nobody's thinking some military style general looking guy, as that photo resembles. But the similarities are beyond striking. That was one thing that people began wondering about. Is it him? And to this day, we still don't know the answer to that. There was also inside looking. The Reddit account showed up in the Moscow murder subreddit and started posting elaborate theories that read more like guided walkthroughs. It outlined how the killer could have parked behind the house, entering through the sliding glass door, moved room to room, and exited, all while avoiding detection. The account even speculated about the killer's emotional state. Remember Brian Koberger did that little DeSales University research project focused on the emotional state of criminals after they committed a horrible crime? Interesting. That one would be obsessed with how one should feel, the killer should feel, while in a state of attack, a state of murder, and after the crime. One comment in response to a thread asking what the killer was doing in the weeks after the crime simply said, "Rush of adrenaline, very excited." That content drew a now famous reply. Dude is solving his own crime. Dot, dot, dot. Psycho. The accuracy, the tone, and the odd specificity of both accounts raised eyebrows, especially after Brian Koberger's arrest in late December. Koberger was a PhD student in criminology at Washington State University, just across the state line from where the murders took place. It suddenly became the center of attention. And those social media accounts, they suddenly made a lot more sense. Not only did the timelines align with what this person was talking about, but so did the voice. The posts were methodical, clinical even. They sounded like someone who studied criminal behavior, not just academically, but with a personal interest. Some compared it to writing a case study on a crime you were involved in, which, ironically, isn't that far off from the concept of criminal narcissism. And then, almost in perfect sync with his arrest, the Papa Roger's Facebook account disappeared. Deleted. The timing couldn't have been more suspicious. One day before law enforcement took Koberger into custody, inside looking also went dark. To this day, law enforcement has not confirmed whether either of those accounts were operated by Koberger. There's been no official digital fingerprint release, but former FBI agents, including our own contributor, Jennifer Coffendaffer, have said publicly on this show that the parallels are too close to ignore. She noted that Koberger had already demonstrated questionable judgment, driving his own car to the crime scene, keeping his phone with him for the parts of the night, and then allegedly leaving the knife sheath behind. If he made those kinds of mistakes, why wouldn't he make another? By logging onto social media to poke the bear. Let everybody know just how smart you are. Smarter than the room. Which brings me back to the haunting bathroom selfie, which you can now see here on the screen, along with all of those photos put together. It's a creepy, creepy image if you're watching us on YouTube. If you're not, you want to go check us out and you're listening on the audio version of the podcast, just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi and you can see this image. It has the Koberger in the shower. It has the American Psycho character right behind it. It has Norman Bates next to it and has Papa Roger right below. Koberger's picture, that selfie, sure fits right in with these, doesn't it? You couldn't have asked someone to take a selfie that looked more like a piece from a murder mystery movie than this. All vampiric looking and just creepy. Some may say psycho. If it's him. All allegations, all speculations. This man is innocent until proven guilty. We have to look at the evidence. We have to look at the correlations. And we have to look at this guy who, if Papa Roger is him, and I don't know how it could not be, was getting a bit of a thrill at being smarter than the rest of the room before he got caught. Being right out there in the center of everything, talking about the case, even when someone on one of the forums brought up, okay, the white Hyundai Elantra, as that information came to light and the public started searching for that vehicle, he didn't engage in that one. He didn't tell anyone, well, yes, it must have been that because it's on camera. No, that raised a red flag to him, and he even called it, that's a red herring. Get off this path. I own one of those. And then right after, he changed his license plates. After the arrest, investigators found the photo on Koberger's phone. It was timestamped 10:31 a.m. on November 13th, just hours after the murders occurred. Shows him clean, calm, and almost smug. He's in the bathroom, giving a casual thumbs up. His shirt is buttoned up all the way. Clean and pressed. His hair is in place. There's no blood, no bruises, no signs of struggle. Just an oddly serene man standing in front of a shower. It was a setting and expression that unsettled people the most. Taken so soon after the murders, while the victims lay undiscovered, it looked like a twisted victory lap. The white shirt, the tidy hair, the vacant calm immediately sparked comparisons to other characters. Patrick Bateman in American Psycho, the fictional serial killer who maintained an immaculate appearance and a detached demeanor even as he committed brutal acts. Bateman, like Koberger, was obsessed with control, with being perceived as a smarter, sharper, cleaner than everyone else. The photo, whether intentionally styled that way or not, hits eerily close to that archetype. Of course, then there is the shower, the striking backdrop in Psycho. The shower scene is one of the most iconic in horror history, a place of vulnerability. Turned violent, people couldn't help but notice the dark symbolism of Koberger's standing there, clean, composed. Well, a scene of real life horror played out just hours earlier down the road. Maybe it was all a coincidence. Maybe he just liked how he looked that morning. The combination of the timing, the setting, and expression made it very hard to see it as anything but calculated, or at the least, disturbingly detached. Koberger, from what we understand from his own writings that have been dug up online, was someone who did feel detached, felt a lack of emotion, lack of empathy, a lack of feeling in general. He called this out in himself when he was in his teen years, allegedly on a message board post that was discovered shortly after he was arrested. And those who got to know him described him as being very similar to what he was describing himself as a mid-teen. Someone who just didn't seem to mesh with society, didn't have social skills, always seemed like he was smarter than the room, condescending, controlling. And if questioned, you don't question a character like that. Because they will be right, and they will move around whatever they need to move to fit the narrative that they want to fit. But the fact that this looks like it was modeled after two movies, with the name Psycho prominently being part of the title, American Psycho and Psycho. What it looks like to me, what my conjecture is on this, is that he was fed up with being what he viewed treated differently. Didn't view that his own actions or his own way of acting around others may have something to do with it. No. That's everybody else's fault. It's people that call me psycho. Screw them. That's just my conjecture of how one may think when you're feeling that way. I'll show them. And he did. He showed them, all right, thinking he was smarter than everyone else in the room, if it was him. Taking a photo like that, putting it out there. Right here, guys. Never going to figure it out. Soon it was learned he wasn't the smartest in the room, because more fuel was added to the fire when it was revealed that Koberger's phone had pinged near the crime scene at 9:12 a.m. Again, just hours after the murders. Prosecutors believe he drove back to the house, possibly to see the aftermath. Maybe he was curious. Maybe he was watching. Former FBI agents say it's not uncommon for certain types of offenders to return to the scene, to relive the event, to see the chaos that they have created. It's about control. It's about dominance. It's a voyeuristic thrill. And you line that up with the selfie taken the hour later, the narrative starts to take shape. It is not just a photo. It might be a timestamp of satisfaction. Meanwhile, Koberger went back to business as usual. He attended classes. He continued his role as a teaching assistant. He graded papers, and according to several students, his demeanor even changed. He seemed more relaxed, more talkative, and very disheveled that first day back in class. Before the murders, he'd failed an entire class on an exam. Afterward, he started giving everyone perfect scores. It was as if something had shifted, not in a normal way, but in a very bizarre, manic and quiet, confident way. As if whatever pressure had existed before had then been released. At the time that all that was going on, he was allegedly also taking precautions. He drove cross-country with his father for the holidays, heading back to Pennsylvania. Once there, surveillance caught him wearing gloves while taking out the trash. He even tried to dispose of garbage in his neighbor's bins. You know, like you do at 4 a.m. when you're visiting your parents on the opposite side of the country. Investigators say he meticulously cleaned his car, the same one believed to be seen near the crime scene, and even changed the license plates days after the killings. The defense has, of course, pushed back as they have on everything, saying those behaviors can be explained. Hygiene habits, nervous energy. No, it doesn't. You can't just say that and expect everyone to go, oh, yeah. Yeah, nervous energy. Putting random things in plastic bags and then going and putting them in your neighbor's garbage can. And yeah, no. Prosecutors argue that taken together, they paint a clear picture. Someone who knew he had something to hide. And there's the psychological side. Experts across the board, former FBI agents, forensic psychologists, criminologists have described Koberger as someone who may exhibit traits of narcissism and psychopathy. Again, not diagnosed, just observations. That doesn't mean, like I said, he's been diagnosed, but his behavior fits a pattern. Cold, methodical, lacking remorse, focused on control. Even the way he allegedly treated students in his class points to someone who relished power dynamics. And if he did post online as Papa Roger or inside looking, that lines up perfectly with the idea of someone who wants to be the smartest guy in the room, someone who gets a thrill from being involved in the chaos without anyone realizing. Someone who couldn't resist showing off, even if it meant taking a risk. It's not the behavior of a criminal mastermind. It's the behavior of someone who wanted to be seen as one. Someone who thought he was smarter than everyone else, smarter than law enforcement, smarter than the public, maybe even smarter than the justice system itself. Or maybe he wanted to experience the justice system itself. We don't know for certain what his intentions are. We probably never will. If it's him. We don't know for certain if he posted online or if that selfie was a taunt. What we do know is that there is a trail of behavior, both digital and physical, that has unsettled even the most seasoned investigators. Koberger, of course, has pled not guilty by remaining silent when asked to enter a plea. He's entitled to a fair trial, and the burden of proof lies with the state. Regardless of what happens in court, these details paint a disturbing portrait of what might have been going on behind the scenes. Because if it turns out that he took the selfie as a souvenir, that he wrote those posts as a way to insert himself into the narrative, then he circled back to the crime scene just to watch it all unfold. And that the picture in the shower and the outfit were an homage to American Psycho and Psycho. We're dealing with someone that committed far more than a brutal act. We're dealing with someone who wanted to be recognized for it. And that's the most chilling part. Not just the violence, not just the loss, but the idea that someone might have killed and then smiled for the camera, confident that nobody would ever connect the dots. Well, they did. What do you think about all of this? Let me know in the comments. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Is this all just, you know, bias that we have, confirmation bias that we have from being into this case for too long when we see something and kind of go down a road because it looks like it might fit? Maybe. Or do all of these dots, American Psycho, Psycho, Papa Rogers, and Koberger, is there a connection? Does he want us to know there's a connection? Does he want us to know that he knows he's psycho? But you don't? At least at that time. Also of note, Ann Taylor, his attorney, has also filed motion that the word psycho should not be used during the trial, along with murderer and several others that, you know, point to the crime he's alleged of committing. We'll see how all that stands out as the judge has not quite yet ruled on the terminology that can or cannot be used. Again, in the comments, let me know what you think. I would love to hear your feedback, and press subscribe because we got a lot more coming for you as we continue to cover this case right here on the Hidden Killers podcast. from True Crime Today. I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for joining us.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. He was charming, handsome, a devoted husband, a doting father. When his wife died tragically in a freak accident, everyone pitied him. He played the role so well, grieving widower, devastated, single dad, just trying to put the pieces back together. But the thing about perfect men, they're usually hiding something. And this one was hiding everything. The affair, the insurance policy, the other wife in another state who had no idea she was married to a walking crime scene. If she had only subscribed to True Crime Today, Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, she could have listened to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi ad-free. And before everyone else, she could have seen through the lies. She could have gotten out while she still had the chance. Instead, she's just another case we'll be covering next week. Don't be her. Subscribe now to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts.